but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Portland Trailblazers are for sale. They're on the auction block. The Seattle Seahawks won't be far behind. Sports Business Journal, a publication that it's not exactly mainstream. It kind of panders to the business community, of course. It's in the name, Sports Business Journal. Had a piece this week written by Bruce Schoenfeld, who's a contributor to Sports Business Journal. And it's a piece about Jody Allen. And it fashions Jody Allen in a very favorable light. I read it, and I got to be honest, I've read it three or four times. And I'm trying to figure out what I make of it. It feels to me that it's driven a little bit by the people at Vulcan Sports and Entertainment. It's favorable to Jody, casts her as this unusual owner who is highly engaged. Dwayne Hankins, the president of business for the Trailblazers, sent me the piece. And, you know, look, I don't blame him for sending it to me. He's like, I don't know if you've seen this. They know I'm critical of Jody. They know I've been critical of the Paul Allen and Jody Allen act altogether. But does this tell the real story of Jody Allen? Or is this the vulcanized, hey, let's clean up her image because she's about to sell the franchise and, you know, Jody's interested in having people think fondly upon her trusteeship. Jody Allen's 6 years younger than Paul Allen, only sibling of Paul Allen. Jody was relatively unknown by the time Paul Allen was rich and famous in the mid-80s. And, you know, John Schneider quoted in the piece, Bob Whitsitt quoted in the piece, some others quoted in the piece. If you get a chance to read it, make your mind up for yourself. But here to talk about it, Brian Berger, Sports Business Radio. Got a great podcast, and he's joining us now. Berger, how are you, my friend?
Good, John. And I want to start the conversation by pointing out a key piece of information, which is that I worked for the Portland Trailblazers for 6.5 years and was there when we opened what's now the Moda Center and the Rose Garden. So I just wanted to lay that as the foundation of this conversation.
All right, just take me through this, because when I saw the piece, I noted a couple things that, you know, it's got Vulcan's fingerprints all over it. The photos are provided courtesy of Vulcan Sports and Entertainment. Certainly access to Jody Allen is a difficult thing to get, and, you know, the author of the piece, Bruce Schoenfeld, has a strong history as a journalist. He's worked at a number of reputable publications, so I kind of went into it thinking, okay, let's give this a fair shake, but I left a little puzzled as to what the motive of the piece was. It felt like a little bit of propaganda, or maybe, if I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, just some positive pub that's being put out in front of the auction. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many thoughts on this, and again, thanks for having me on. I think this is Jody taking a victory lap before she becomes far less relevant after the Blazers and the Seahawks are sold. You know, when you own a sports team, you're in that special club. You're in the news a lot more than when you don't own a sports team. And I think that's one of the goals here. But I actually took offense to the piece because I was working for the Blazers at the time. And for instance, Jody Allen did not oversee the design and construction of the Rose Garden. There were a lot of things in this piece that just aren't factually true. And it's kind of like the student. We've all had these students that we've come in touch with when we were students who don't do anything to contribute to the group project, and then they show up for the presentation, they say a few words, and then when the project gets an A, they take a bow and take credit for something they didn't do. And when I was reading this piece, I saw just several things in here that she didn't do. And I think it's a disservice to her brother, Paul. And I think it's a big disservice to the people who actually did the work to build the Rose Garden and did some of these things. And the other thing I'll say, John, too, is, you know, I've thought since Paul died, she's made some decisions, and I've asked myself, would Paul have done these same things? I don't think Paul would have fired Pete Carroll. I don't know that Paul would have traded Russell Wilson, and I'm not saying that was the wrong decision. I don't know that he would have done it because he's pretty attached to players. I don't know that he would have traded Damian Lillard. So there's some things that she's done as the trustee. She's not the owner. She's the trustee, and I don't know if it honored Paul and his final wishes, and she's now taking credit and has people, you know, patting her on the back in this victory lap for things that she didn't actually do.
Brian, the construction of the arena, why do you think they want to portray Jody as being involved in that, and how much involvement did you see her having at that time?
I mean, she basically showed up at the end, right? Hey, there's the ribbon cutting and the opening ceremony, and we've got Dana Carvey there. I mean, it's coming up. October 13th, 1995 is when the Rose Garden opened. So we're coming up on 30 years. She was not nearly as involved as she was portrayed to be. Marshall Glickman, Bob Collier, Dave Hathaway, Paul Zumwalt, Dave Daterman, a lot of people that are listening to this right now, you may not know who those people are. Those are the people that were responsible for the financing of the Rose Garden and the construction of the Rose Garden. Then Mayor Vera Capps, she actually played a big part in getting a deal done from the city side. Jody was not heavily involved, so to read that she was in charge of construction and design and she's done, you know, some other things that story cited that just simply aren't true. Again, I think it's a disservice to her brother, Paul, and I think it's a disservice to the people who actually did the work.
We're talking to Brian Berger, Sports Business Radio. Brian, I'm not going to name the person because I'm not sure he'd be uncomfortable with me sharing this, but reputable, long-time, highly visible Portland company that is in the construction space, the owner of the company went up to Seattle, presumably when the building was being built, to meet with Jody Allen and present their bid for part of the electrical parts of the arena. This person traveled from Portland to Seattle, we all know the distance, and was left sitting in the waiting room waiting for Jody for several hours, and then ultimately was told Jody didn't have time today. This person is a legacy season ticket holder, business owner, that just wanted to be involved in that building of Moda Center and left with a extremely poor view of Jody Allen. I had a poor view of Jody Allen because over the years I was told, you know, she's kind of a queen bee. She doesn't really love the Blazers. She's kind of saw it as Paul's little hobby and kind of looked down her nose at it. Is it possible she's evolved here and become much more interested, or is this 100% propaganda and PR?
I think it's a lot of propaganda and PR. I think when Paul died, she was forced to step up in a way that he wasn't previously involved. So, you know, she's had to make some of these decisions. But I've asked this question on your show before. What makes her qualified other than she's Paul Allen's sister? What makes Burt Cold qualified other than he was Paul Allen's college roommate? If you've watched the show Succession on HBO, there are people that get jobs because they were in the right place or they were in the right family. And I just have to ask this question because, you know, look, you just told that story about Jody. How about the fact that she doesn't even return an email or a phone call from Phil Knight when he's offering to buy the team? I mean, the way she's treated people over the years and, frankly, her condescending ways towards many. So when I read this piece and it's trying to make her out to be Mother Teresa, I'm sorry if I'm not buying it. And I was there for at least the years when the Rose Garden was built, and I saw what her involvement was, and it wasn't what that article portrayed it to be.
Brian Berger, Sports Business Radio, with us. To be fair to the author, he did point out that Bob Whitsitt, the Trailblazers president and GM, spent 9 years with the organization, remembers seeing Jody Allen at a game only a handful of times and never in an official capacity. She's been there frequently since being the trustee, but now it's time to move on. I have been told by a source that Jody and Bert probably wouldn't want the Blazers to have success in their wake because it's going to make them look bad. Do you agree with that assessment? If the Blazers rise to prominence in this next era under new ownership, does it make Jody look bad, or do people look back and go, hey, she never really was the owner? It was just sort of this purgatory time for the franchise.
I think it's a purgatory time, but I think all she cares about and all Bert cares about, what's the final price? What's the highest price we can get when we sell the Blazers and we sell the Seahawks? I don't think they care about much anything else. I think, as you and I have discussed, we both know that we've talked to people that say they're personally incentivized for the highest price. Yep. They want to get the highest price for the Paul G. Allen Foundation. I get it. Like, you know, they're obligated to collect the highest price. I don't know that they care about the heritage and the future of the Blazers going forward. And that's scary. I mean, that's why that Rip City Forever organization exists. It's scary because if they sell to someone who isn't from Oregon and they decide they want to move the team and they can't get a new arena built here, I think, you know, the chances are going up every day that that could happen. And the fact that expansion may be on the back burner now and the NBA is more focused on Europe, does Seattle say, hey, we don't know that we're going to get expansion now. We're going to put an aggressive bid out there to try and get the Blazers up to Seattle. I don't know. There's a lot of unpredictable stuff, but I'll tell you this. I don't trust Jody Allen to protect the best interests of the Blazers by keeping them in Portland.
Brian, the sale of this franchise is going to be an auction. I don't think it's going to be holistic. I agree with you. I have also been told that Bert gets a percentage of the sale, so he'll get a commission on the sale, essentially. So they're going to be chasing the top dollar. How concerned are you with the Blazers leaving Portland, and would Jody or Bert put a foot down and go, look, the portability of this franchise has to go away. We need an assurance whoever's going to buy this franchise keeps it in Portland, as the ownership in Milwaukee did when that franchise changed hands?
No, I don't see them doing that. And that's the scary part. I don't see them doing that. I think, you know, maybe Adam Silver steps in and says, hey, all things being equal, if bids are equal, let's go with the one that's going to keep them in Portland. But if someone comes in and their bid is much higher than the next closest bid and they want to move the team out of Portland and the city of Portland doesn't step up with a plan for a new arena, because like I just mentioned, the Rose Garden Moda Center is going to be 30 years old, I think there's a very good chance. I mean, if I was a business person and I didn't live in Portland, and it pains me to say this, and you said you can move this team to Seattle or Nashville or Mexico City or Las Vegas, or you can keep them in Portland, if you just look at it from a business perspective and you remove all emotion, I think any of those cities are a better option than Portland, given the current makeup. Unless the city steps up and does what they should do, then I could see this team moving. And John, you've talked to me several times about this. I've really moved on this in the last 6 months. I've become much more of a believer that Jody and Bert don't care if the team moves. All they care about is the bottom price. And that if I'm someone who's not from Oregon and I buy this team and the city won't give me a new arena, I could see the team moving.
In November of 2022, Paul Allen's art collection was sold piece by piece. Christie's was the auction house in New York. This was an unprecedented sale. Bidding was robust. Jody Allen was in an observation room off the main floor watching the bidding. In the Sports Business Journal piece, Bert Cold is quoted as saying, Jody rooted like she were at a Seahawks game. She's happy winning. In the end, the total amounted bid on the auction was $1.6 billion. It was the most for a single owner art sale in history that was celebrated by Jody and Bert. So I think it lines up with what you're saying. I think the Sports Business Journal piece agrees that this is going to be, hey, can we get $4.5 or $5 billion for this franchise?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you just want to look at it again from a dollars and cents standpoint, they have a responsibility to the Paul Z. Allen Foundation to get the most amount of money for the foundation off of the sale of the Blazers and off of the sale of the Seahawks. I think that's what they're solely focused on, and they're going to do everything they can to get the most amount of money and engage the most number of bidders. And, you know, the city of Portland and Rip City Forever and these other organizations are going to have to do everything they can to engage the new owner and say, this is why you should stay in Portland.
Brian Berger, Sports Business Radio, is with us. Bert Cold is quoted as saying, this isn't a forever story. This is not a forever story. Speaking about the Blazers and then ultimately the Seahawks, how far behind the Blazers do you think the Seahawks are when it comes to a sale?
I would say within 2 years, and I'll even call myself out. I thought after Paul died in 2018 that the Blazers would be sold within 2 years. So they clearly weren't. But I think, you know, that quote from Bert, and I haven't seen Paul's final will, but from people I've talked to, there was about a 10-year period to wrap up all his affairs. That would kind of be at that borderline of the 10-year period. So I would think within 2 years. I don't know. It would have been pretty interesting to try and sell them together, right? Maybe you could have gotten more money by selling them as a package. Maybe that's too hard to do because you're dealing with, you know, NFL Board of Governors, basically, and NBA Board of Governors. But it would have been at least interesting to, if you're trying to raise the most amount of money, that might have been an interesting tactic. But I would say within 2 years, and I won't be surprised if it's sooner than that.
There are skeletons in Jody Allen's closet, giraffe bones that were smuggled by bodyguards. There were lawsuits filed by the bodyguards saying that they were told to put on Speedos and oiled down, and all of this stuff was settled, seemingly in settlements. If Jody Allen were the owner of the Blazers, would this stuff have been a problem for the NBA and Adam Silver?
I think so, and thank God she wasn't the owner of the Blazers. You know, like, at least Paul was really into it and threw every resource that he could at paying for players and paying for the arena. I mean, he personally wrote a check for $46 million, which was a lot of money back 30 years ago, to get the arena built. So he had a lot of skin in the game, and frankly, a lot more skin in the game than many owners did at that time to get a venue built. They were all saying to the city they played in, hey, pay for most of it or I'm leaving. Paul put a lot of skin in the game. I am glad that Paul was the owner of this team for many of the years and that Jody wasn't, because it would have been a totally different trajectory for the organization, I think. And again, I don't know what Jody's qualifications are other than being the sister of Paul Allen.
One former military person said under oath that he did not feel comfortable being alone with Jody Allen. He's part of the security detail. They alleged that Jody Allen bought tight, revealing swimsuits for the security detail and asked the bodyguards to do a fashion show. Vulcan contends that any conduct resembling that was entirely innocent and occurred in the spirit of fun. Try that if you are a man owning a business. Wrapped up also in the lawsuits, the penguin bones and giraffe bones. I don't know what you're doing with 70 pounds of giraffe bones and penguin bones, but it just feels to me like maybe there was too much money there and some boredom. I don't know. What were your interactions with Jody Allen like? Did you ever get time with Jody?
I didn't. I didn't interact with her. I interacted with Paul a few times. I did not interact with Jody. But look, I think Jody has a clear sense of entitlement. I think because of the money that she has behind her and the fact that her brother was who he was, she soaked in the power as well. I think we've talked about several examples here, whether it's how she treated Phil Knight or how she treated the person that you mentioned that went up to meet with her in Seattle, how she's treated bodyguards, entitlement to steal giraffe bones. Like, this is a pattern that's been going on for a long time, that she's entitled, she's condescending, and she clearly has her best interest in mind first and foremost above all else.
What happens to Jody Allen and Burt Cold when the Seahawks are gone, when the Blazers are gone? And, you know, is there a potential that Jody or Burt could be part of an ownership group? Could they reemerge, or do they just sort of evaporate from the scene?
I think they evaporate from the scene. I mean, it's hard to get in the club, right? There's not that many seats at the table in the NFL or the NBA. And frankly, again, I don't know what owner would go, oh my gosh, I have to have Jody Allen and Burt Cold as part of my ownership group. I just don't see where they would be relevant going forward. Will they have other investments? Could they do high-profile stuff in the art world or via Paul's Foundation? Maybe. But I think we've seen time and time again, if you own a pro sports team, you have a spotlight on you that is really unique and different than if you collect art or, you know, you do something else. So I think their profile will go way down. I think it's going to be a tough pill to swallow for both of them. But I think they'll enjoy the money that they get from this transaction, or these transactions, if you count the Seahawks.
All right, last question. This has taken a while. You expected a sale sooner. I did as well. I am told by sources that Jody collects a management fee for being the trustee of this estate. Burt is going to get paid on the back end. He'll get a piece of the Blazers sale. They will make money on this. Is part of the delay, in your mind, part of it, is it that the two of them enjoyed being sort of the kingmakers, queen bee, and running around sort of being important? Is it that the more time that passed, this franchise would be worth more? Jody would make more if she held the franchise for a while. You know, she's collecting that fee. Burt's going to get a bigger sale. In your mind, how the timing of this sale and the length and the delay, can it be easily explained or not?
I think it can be pretty easily explained. I think they did like the spotlight and coming to the games and having the added spotlight on them that wasn't on them when Paul was the owner and alive. I do think a big part of it for the NBA was they wanted to see what the media rights deal was and how much money was going to come in from that and factor that into the sales price. So, look, I mean, again, if you just look at it from a business point, them slow playing this, if you want to call it that, has increased the value of the franchise. If they would have sold it in 2018, as that article pointed out, I mean, you're probably looking at $2 to $3 billion. You know, now you may be looking at $5 billion. In an auction type scenario. So whatever they did, they're going to get more money coming out of this, both them personally and the sales price for the team. But I definitely think they like being on the private jet, and they like coming to the games, and they like going to the draft. And, you know, they were the replacement owner, and I think they enjoyed that. But I think the time is up. And as Burt said, all things come to an end, and you know, hopefully what people in Portland should root for is that an engaged ownership group buys the Blazers, they keep them here, that it's, you know, better resources than we've ever seen before, or at least in the last 7 years while it's been in purgatory, and, you know, that the team obviously stays here. That's what people should be rooting for. But it's going to be interesting to watch, because you've got a lot of egos involved in this, and a lot of big characters, and it's going to be an interesting show to watch there in the next few months.
Brian Berger, Sports Business Radio. He is the host and creator of that podcast. Check it out. Brian Berger, thank you.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate you having me on.
There he goes, Brian Berger, who worked for a time with the Trailblazers. I'd love to get your opinion on this Jody Allen thing. Because on one hand, she's the trustee, and let's face it, if you made me the trustee of something that I didn't buy in the first place, I might have a hard time embracing it. Secondarily, let's be real. Sometimes rich, influential, uber-wealthy people get credit they don't deserve. So maybe everybody talks about, oh, Jody was so important in building the Seahawks facility. Jody was so important in getting Moda Center built. There's a revisionist history that happens naturally in that billionaire ecosystem. And frankly, she gets to play in that system because her brother brought her there. And so there's some of that, to be fair to Jody, that I think just naturally happens. You get credit that you don't always deserve in that world. But what do you make of her ownership in this time? I want to open this up to listeners of the Bald-Faced Truth. Brandberger worked for a time with the Blazers. You can hear that he's not happy with Jody. He's not happy with the portrayal of Jody Allen. I've had some minor experiences with Jody that kind of left me feeling a little sour about her, and I've watched her operate. And I've thought for a while, like, gosh, let the franchise go. For crying out loud, you got it in a headlock. But you tell me. I want your perspective on this ownership, trusteeship, the accidental NBA owner. 503-417-7575. Tell me what you make of it.